Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Danny, hour two of four, just getting started. We've got Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers coming in studio with us today from 12:30 to 1. We'll have some guests who are in town for the All-Star festivities over the next couple days, stopping through District Live, including first-year Nats manager Davey Martinez, who's got his ball club competitive in the National League East, but not in the way we were thinking they would be.
Yeah.
Work to do.
Not the on-paper start, middle, or finish to the first half that anybody thought was coming. I mean, anybody thought.
5.5 games out of first place. You probably operate from a player perspective of, well, we got the Braves the first game after the break, and then we got the Braves the second game after the break. But for you, do you think they're in big trouble? I mean, should fans be worried about them right now?
No, because they got the best trade thing coming their way, which is Stras.
Yeah.
When Stras gets back, that's like getting an added trade in there. You're talking about a pretty high caliber pitcher, right? Mm. So that's a huge thing. And you guys were talking about it earlier. The rotation is one of their biggest problems right now. And for me, because I'm the biggest Tanner Roark fan, and to see him struggle for this length of period of time, it
he's
sucks.
He's giving out the most hits and the most runs.
It's
in the
unbelievable.
It kills you because he's such a good dude.
But he's competitive.
Great, yeah.
Oh, man.
But that we're
dude.
A year and a half now, Kevin, of this is kind of what it's been.
Yeah.
What do you see? Is it lack of put away? Is it maybe lack of, like, he's afraid of contact or something? What do you think?
I think guys have adjusted to him a little bit, and they're laying off, you know, the slider in the dirt. I think that's part of the thing where he used to do it. It was like closer to the catcher. Mm-hmm. Where it gave the hitter that like little bit of doubt, you know, a little bit longer. Now it's almost an easier take. I feel like I've watched so many of his starts. And remember how he used to pound guys inside?
Yep.
And guys just got worn out. Guys have adjusted to that a little bit, you know, and he's had some bad luck. But at the same time, like when you're giving up more hits per inning than anyone else, there's got to be something there.
Who was your best friend when you were on the Nats in 14? Or who was the guy you brought out with most?
Probably J-Dub.
Worth?
Yeah.
Everybody loves Worth.
Everyone loves him.
Yeah. I'm not going to go. Yeah. There's a there's a big reason here. I feel like things aren't the same.
Yeah. Not having Worth around, a lot of people think they needed him in that clubhouse. I mean, here's the problem I have with that, though, to play devil's advocate. He'd gotten to a point where just as a big league ball player, he doesn't help you a whole lot. Now, he could have given you a good at-bat off the bench and drawn a walk or something. But in the National League, it's tough. In the outfield, he had lost a lot. So I get the point that you need guys like that in your clubhouse.
You
I think
do.
That's where you're going. But I'm just not sure how much he gives you as a player. He was struggling in AAA. Yeah. I mean,
he was still getting hot, too, when he got hurt with his hammy.
He could give you
Tacoma.
Power off the bench.
No doubt. It's just like, look, his presence, I rarely come across that. You know, where his presence alone just in that clubhouse was a special thing. You could go a few guys around the league and he was one. So with that, you know, being said, I mean, what the Dodgers have with Chase, you know, Chase has been like that for a few years, guys. Yeah. So it's a special thing that certain guys have. And I feel like that was kind of lost around there.
I'll tell you, he's got me thinking a little bit here because Danny, you and I talked about this on the show. They had a players only meeting.
Mm-hmm.
About a week and a half ago that was called by a starting pitcher.
And then Trey
Max
Turner
Scherzer.
goes out and has 10 RBIs.
Yes, he did. But Max Scherzer had to call that meeting. I mean, there is not a player in the clubhouse right now, an everyday guy. I don't know if that's a problem or not.
I think it is.
I think it is, right?
I think it is.
Call that meeting.
Look, Max Scherzer could do whatever he wants because that dude, like we said, lives up to everything, right? And he is, when you go into a clubhouse, Max is the guy. He is the guy. You do need an everyday guy. Because every fifth day, look, I'm not saying, oh, their job's easy. No. They work their butts off for those 32, 33 starts. That I'm not saying anything against that. But an everyday guy that's going to go in the lineup and do that. Like, at times, you just wish Bryce was that personality. He's not. Bryce isn't. which is a good thing because that's not who Bryce is. So why does he have to go out of his lane, right? But there's got to be someone. Rendon,
he's not going to say anything. No. Rendon just wants to, like, give me a bat, give me a glove, I'm good. Like, I'll go rake.
The Rockets came on.
By the way, when the Nats were in town in San Francisco, so when Tenley, my daughter, was born, he sent her a Rockets jersey. I gave him
that's awesome
a Steph onesie.
Oh, nice.
For, you know, everything that's going on. So
very
perfect. Go Warriors. Anyway, so when you look at the personalities there, you got guys that, like, they worry about playing and trying to win, not just the whole, I got to, you know, keep this guy in check. And I think another one, too, is having Zim hurt. You know, if he wasn't hurt and he was performing like he was last year, there's that voice. Because a lot of the stuff, when you struggle, you don't have the same voice. Right? I've played with plenty of guys that, like, they want to be able to say something like they normally do, but everyone's looking going, oh, what have you done on the field? But that's the problem. It shouldn't come to that, right? It would be nice if they did have that everyday guy that had that voice, was able to come out and say something.
Speaking of voices, that's Kevin Franzen on Grant and Danny.
And so, but here's where I was going to go. Grant and I have argued about this, by the way, 1,000 times, and he's sick of it, and I'm sure he's sick of me. In fact, it's been we're
let's
our
go.
Fifth
let's
year,
see it.
Sure
I want to see it happen.
So for me, the thing that has driven me ape is this offense, is this group that's been shut out 10 times, 9 times since June 1st. They're starting pitching. Of course, you're not better off without Steven Strasburg. Of course, things are worse. Last year at the break, when they won 97 games, bullpen ERA at 5.20. It was a disaster on stilts before they made the trades.
Madsen, right? Kinsler, and then Doolittle.
Which changed the world.
By the way, Doolittle's badass, isn't he?
Oh, that is a grown-ass man right there.
That is awesome.
That was the panacea. That was the breath of life. Yep. But they were 20 games over even at this point with that. They're starting pitching ERA, despite not having Stras for 6 starts, Gio's worst month as a pro, you're still at 3.91 compared to 3.71 at this point. The offense has scored almost 1.4 less runs per game, and that's with some of these 20-run outbursts. It's the inconsistency of it that's been maddening. Yep. I get it. Without Zim, who you touched on, but their first base production, you got 25 bolts between Adams and Reynolds. It's not having Daniel Murphy, and it's Bryce.
How did Mark Reynolds go through entire spring training without a job?
Crazy.
It's state of the league now.
That is BS.
You're either a kid or you're not getting paid.
That is unbelievable.
But just speak to that. Speak to this offense. And it's like Nats fans want to pull their damn hair out at times.
I'm not going to. And this is not anything on Bryce, but, like, part of it is Bryce. You know, because everyone kind of, I feel like at times, waits for the big bolt from Bryce.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not hitting 300. He's in the low twos, which, by the way, when he gets hot, and you heard it here, you guys know, it is going to be the next 2.5 months is going to be disgusting. Like this right here, this showcase for him, this All-Star game, will ignite something. I swear, I've said it on the radio. They're like, oh, you know,
Harv's
go, like,
into that. I want to hear why.
Because I feel like there just needs the DC love is always there, but when this place is packed out on Tuesday night and even tomorrow night
tonight,
the Home Run Derby,
yeah,
that'll generate some buzz for him. Yeah, because it's different. Where you go, wherever you go on the road, you know, people are starting to cheer, trying to be like, hey, Bryce, come. Nothing's going to be like your home park. And this guy, I feel like, is bound for something huge. I mean, look at his batting average balls in play. It's exactly like his batting average, isn't it? It's insane.
It's statistically almost impossible to do what he's done.
Exactly. That ain't happening. I mean, that ain't happening for another couple months. And I'm saying, like, there will be an adjustment. I think ultimately what ends up happening is Murph and guys behind him are going to get hot at the same time. And it's only going to, you know, it's going to matter because guys are going to have to pitch to Bryce and pitch. And what I mean, they're not going to be pitching around him and being trying to be perfect to him. They're going to just go after him and he's going to start wailing away. And I have said he's going to get over. He's going to be at 275 by the end of the year with 40.
I think he's going to hit 40. If he hits 275, I'll be ultra impressed. I hope you're right.
I believe in a guy like him.
That's like a 400 clip over the last 60-plus games.
And we've seen it before from him.
Yeah, we've seen him do that. Now, he also, that would be his career average, basically, right around 275.
Get your numbers.
See, he could get to the back of the baseball card.
Never
before
lies.
We let you go, what do you miss most about not playing now?
Being in the clubhouse. I missed. You guys know me. I would be at the yard so early. I love the grind of everything. It was fun.
Yeah.
And the competition. I mean, for me, if I hadn't gotten hurt in 2008, I don't know what would have happened, you know, and blew out my Achilles. I was going to be the second baseman in San Francisco, so I don't know. But what it ended up being and you know, pinch hitting, coming off the bench, you cannot replicate that adrenaline rush against some of these guys that you're facing. It was the most amazing thing. I miss that. I mean, I was terrible against Craig Kimbrell, right? My last
you
time
and the
I,
rest of the world, right?
Well, yeah. But the last time I faced him, I hit a bullet to center field, and I was like arm up, like, yes! But face, like, coming off the bench and having to face him.
Good luck.
But, like, you're getting like, yeah, I'm going to do it this time. No, I didn't. You know, but that's that rush that you have. I've still been waiting for it, you know, and doing the games with the Phillies makes me really enjoy baseball, you know, again, like just being out there, being close to the whole thing, because baseball is my love. I appreciate and love what I'm doing as far as the sports talk radio. But yeah, it's a grind because you're always looking for angles, right? Like this is, oh, I could use this on the show instead of being able just to enjoy the games.
Yeah.
With baseball, it's a different thing. I miss just being around the guys because look, you only get that once in your life.
Yeah.
No one's ever ready to get, you know, retire when they have to. Hey, I've never signed my papers, by the way, Riz, I'm ready to go. I can break lefties. But that's one of those things where I wasn't ready to go. I was healthy-ish, but like, I just miss it. Right. And then I don't know.
I think it's hard to replace that rush for a lot of guys.
I mean, it's really exciting what we do and everything, but yeah, not the same. What do you miss the least real quick?
Nothing. Like I really loved everything.
That's cool.
And my time in the minor leagues, the grind through the minor leagues, it was all worth it. It was all the best because, like, look, everyone has, like, whoa, it's like we're on the buses all day. It's like, what else were you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I worked a job. It's
yeah,
way
like,
less
for me,
fun.
I was like, I rode the buses. I got, like, so from, sorry, I know we've got to go, but, like, the first time I got called up, I got drafted in the 12th round, got up in the big leagues in, like, a year and a half. So.
And you were 23 when you graduated.
You don't even think about, I never even thought about the big leagues. So I got up there and it was like, like this rush, right? Like everything was so fast on me. I didn't get to enjoy it. I don't know if I was a good teammate because of that, because I was just like all over the place and everything. So when I went down and then spent a couple years in the minor leagues in 11 and 12, and then got called up with the Phillies in 12, came up here and shot Strauss, you know, to right center, my bad. I actually enjoyed it. I understood what the grind was. I understood what so many guys had put their time and effort into and understood how hard it was to get back up there. Cause for the first time it was so easy, and not trying to say it was just easy because I had a lot of like things happen that were good in front of me. But damn, like I missed that. Like that's I missed cool. that grind fighting, try to get everywhere. So
it's cool to see things are going well for you. And
yeah,
you got
awesome.
All the radio work going. Yeah. You're doing well, man.
There's
it's
a first place
cool
Phillies team right now.
There is a first place Phillies team. We don't like that very much.
I know.
It's not as much fun here.
No, we like the first place Washington team.
Yeah.
Kevin, thanks for coming in, brother.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome, it was fun, man.
Can't believe your Caps won.
Hey, we did it. Washington, D.C., a champion.
Unbelievable.
Grant and Danny on the Fan with Kevin Franzen. For hanging out with us in studio, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you guys making the show part of your day. We're going to crowbar in a Redskins training camp, 14 questions in 14 days in just a couple of minutes. We'll launch that on the show. But to put a bow on a couple of things we just chatted with Kevin Franzen about, still high on the Nats' opportunity to come back, perhaps. They are right now 5.5 games off the pace as they enter the All-Star break at this point. Yesterday's game was massive for them. And how about Jeremy Hellickson? The last two times out, he has been a steadying influence for this rotation that has only had Max Scherzer since he went on the disabled list.
Yeah.
Another really good six-inning start for him. He's mostly been magnificent all year. The only time he's been bad all season,
when he had the flu or whatever the hell that thing was.
Fresh off the DL, getting IVs before his start because he was sick. But the Phillies lost yesterday, gave up a 10 spot, so they dropped back-to-back games going into the break. So the Nats, 5.5 back, 5 back of Atlanta, kind of right where they need to be. They open the second half against the Braves at Nats Park coming up in a couple of days. But they have a good shot here. I think that that series against Atlanta is going to be very revealing, because if you trim the deficit coming out of the break, and right. you should be able to with, I would think Scherzer goes game one, Strasburg goes game two. You can align your rotation however you want. You might have Hellickson throw game three, honestly, the way the rotation is right now.
I mean, well, Gio with Matt Wieters is a different Gio. You saw it. I mean, his career just been much better throwing to Wieters, and hopefully this last start that he had is encouraging. But you might honestly just throw Hellboy if that's kind of the way it lines up, right?
He has not pitched poorly this season in a game where he wasn't getting IVs an hour before the start.
It's pretty much the case here.
My confidence in Tanner Roark, if you want to go confidence meter, Danny, 1 to 10, getting this thing right, is like a 2.
Yeah, it's very low for
me. My confidence in Gio, 1 to 10, is much higher. It's like a 5. But right now, I mean, how that series against the Braves is going to tell the tale maybe of your season. If you could sweep them, is that 3 or 4 game series?
It's a 3-piece.
So if you take 3 straight and you close to 2 back of them, to me, your whole season now, you're probably 4 games out of first place, something like that. We no longer have to talk about them being sellers.
Yeah, you're in business at that point. Right. Now, let's say, and the opposite, by the way, I think is in play also. Now, I don't know that they ever will sell with this group.
But you're right. If you get swept by Atlanta and you're 8.5 or 7.5 or 8 back out of the break.
There are 7 teams ahead of you in the wild card race, and you're 2 teams ahead of you in the division race. That should influence their thinking. Now, again, I don't believe that they will sell. I don't think anything could happen to make them sell this year, even though maybe they should have considered it. If, let's say, if they do go in that negative direction, I don't feel like that's in their DNA at this point with this, quote, window. They'll just keep waiting for some time where they'll catch fire and hope that the guys in the locker room will do it and they'll get to their career numbers, et cetera. But listen, this is a massive series. This reminds me, and we didn't know it at the time, but remember in 2015, that Mets series right out of the break where they'll be fine. The Mets lined up their pitching, the Nationals didn't, and yada, yada, yada. Remember how this whole thing went? The Mets rolled, the Nats didn't. Next thing you know, they were chasing the rest of the year for the division. That's what this feels like to me.
And weren't the Nats up in the division at that time?
I believe they had a lead at that point. Not a huge one, by the way, but it was just, to them, it was, we treated it as another series. The Mets didn't.
They catapulted the Mets basically into their stretch run, which was magnificent.
And the Mets said, this is our season. This is huge. And they played it that way. And the Nats were like, whatever. And they shouldn't have been.
See, teams are reluctant to do that. By the way, you can watch the show live today. Very much watch the junkies and watch Chad Dukes of us. AWOD's working the cameras. We both tweeted out a link to do so. It's my most recent tweet at Grant H. Paulson. You can check out at Funny Danny for a link.
Go to thefandc.com well. And there's a Rex banner there, apparently.
Very nice. Teams are reluctant basically to say this is a massive series because if you lose the series, if you drop, just say 2 out of 3 against Atlanta, or God forbid, you get swept in a 3-game set, now you're cooked. And you came out, if you're Davey Martinez, and you put your eggs in that basket.
Exactly.
You see, that's the problem. If you align the rotation, you don't even have to say it. Everybody knows. If you go Scherzer 1, Strasburg 2, Hellickson 3, you're basically saying that series with Atlanta is going to tell the tale of our year. And then you lose the series, and now what? Is it weird, though? We can play a little Is It Weird here. Is it weird, Danny, that I am strangely excited in a weird way about the possibility of a must-have series here in July? We have not had this, really. The Nationals have either essentially been pretty much out of the playoff picture because they were scuffling, or when they've been winning, they've run away with the division. It's been few and far between that they're coming down the stretch on a couple of games off the pace and really having a good chance. You kind of know generally by August if they're going to be in or they're going to be out.
Well, certainly this hasn't happened. I mean, being the chaser where you've been disappointing for however many months and still are alive and kicking. And they've had disappointing seasons
right. Where
their opponent ran away with it, the Braves in 2013. The last time something like this was the case where they were neck and neck, two good teams, before the Braves fell apart, which you called, by the way. You were 100% correct about it. But the Nationals and the Braves in 2012 were pretty close. They're going back and forth. And then the Braves just wound and had a disastrous late August and September where the Nats kind of continued doing what they were doing.
Is that weird to you that I like important late season baseball. I think it's fun. I mean, forget that it might be better for them. I've heard that argument as well that they go into the playoffs.
It's not better for them to be right here like this.
Certainly isn't. I refuse to listen to that nonsense.
Yeah, please don't tell me that.
If you're 12 games over 500 and you're battling for the division, we can have that conversation.
Right. If they were in the Phillies or the Braves shoes right now, where they're 10 over despite everything that's happened.
And still 2 games back.
Yeah, let's have that combo.
I think there's something cool, though. I just mean as a fan. as a person who loves baseball and watches games every single night, stretch runs, playoff runs, magic numbers shrinking when you've got multiple teams in a race, it's compelling. It's
division
dramatic.
Races are cool. You don't have to dress it up. That's a fact.
So I think from the standpoint of this fan base and the perspective just of someone who likes the Nats in town, I actually think this could be a really neat, fun next couple of months, but they got to play well. If it ends up like this and they're just playing 500 and hanging around seven games back, there's nothing cool about that because they've become very difficult to watch, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The last few weeks have been work. I mean, they've been challenging. A couple of games here and there were a good time, but for the most part, it's Tanner Roark's getting shelled again. Two runners at second and third, and nobody got to score after they popped out twice. That isn't a good time for anybody.
No, nobody's enjoying that. And again, it's shades of the 2 years where they just kept telling you about how much time they had left, and they just never did it. They sort of never turned that corner. The other years, they did, though. You think of, what was it? Would it have been 2016, where they weren't playing great ball? They were over 500, I think, at the break, and they were doing fine. And then they really finally took off. Some of their numbers equalized. This is they're where they should be. This is how good they've played, is as a basically 500 team in a division that's just okay.
Home Run Derby is tonight. You can hear it on The Fan. Listen to the Derby tonight at 8 p.m. on your home for the 2018 All-Star Game, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Presented by HPE and T-Bar Solutions, featuring the hype converged HPE Simplivity 380 Simplivity. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Our countdown to Redskins training camp. We'll one-off it today and break down Preston Smith. What do you guys think Preston Smith's going to do this coming season? Break out, finally, or more of the same where he's right around that 7-8 sack, super inconsistent, but has a massive month and a couple real big games? Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming you back, 106.7 The Fan. Josh Hader, who is a local gentleman done well, Maryland area kid, came up with the Orioles, traded to the Astros, now with the Brewers. An all-star this year and one of the nastiest, best relief pitchers in all of baseball.
He is filthy.
He will be in studio with us from 12:30 to 1 today. My buddy Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio will join us in the 1 o'clock hour here in studio as well. We're downstairs at District Live, out of the friendly confines of our normal, very hot dungeon.
Yeah, so it's just weird, that's all. Like, we're in opposite places, we're sitting across from each other like it's a panel show where I'm just going to agree with the host, and then they'll cut to Brendan for some reason. There's an audience, but there isn't. The whole thing is very strange, but we're here, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying this environment we're in is weird. There are cameras on
us. We're in a very lovely radio studio.
Three or four people are watching us now on the internet, thefandc.com for that. The whole thing's weird. That's all I'm saying, it's weird.
Yeah, you can watch us. Check out the links on our Twitter accounts or at thefandc.com. Let's get to your Redskins training camp countdown. We came up with 14 questions over 14 days. Got another one for you today.
Grant and Danny are counting you down to training camp.
Touchdown, Redskins!
It's time for 14 questions in 14 days on 106.7 The Fan.
Today's question is about linebacker Preston Smith going into year 4. He has not missed a game in Washington. 48 attempted starts, and he's been on the field for all 48 of those contests. And he started every single one of the last 34 games for the Redskins, now dating back to the end of his rookie season in 2015. You'll remember that he had an 8-sack rookie year because he had a 3-sack game to close out the season in December against the Eagles.
That's right.
He tied that with an 8-sack season last year that actually showed more consistency. But he had a sack in all 4 of Washington's games to begin last September. Then he went a 9-game stretch where he had 1 total sack before getting busy again. and starting to get to the quarterback at the tail end of the season. Had a multi-sack game against Denver. Had a big interception on a play he made in a game in which he had a sack as well against Arizona.
It was a great play.
For whatever reason, he's sensational in December. He closes years out really well. Last year he got off to a good start. But man, has he had a disappearing act in the middle of these seasons. So we want to know, and you could chime in. We're doing this just for a few minutes here at 800-636-1067. Do you think he steps forward and has another gear? Does he have, you know, a fifth gear and an overdrive, a NOS button here where he can become a double-digit sack guy and a player that you got to pay and keep around? Or do you think he's just kind of nice depth, a second or a third outside linebacker who can get to the quarterback when he's one-on-one?
You know me very well, and so do some of the listeners of our program. I'm generally watered down and tempered when it comes to expectations for the Redskins based on, I don't know, almost 30 years of history. And something happens. It's pro sports, right? So I'm bearish on this season coming up. I think they're taking step backs a number of places. I think all these wonderful ideas about how good their offense is going to be are much overhyped. I think they'll be fine. I think defensively overall, they probably won't be as good as they think they'll be. This is the rare occasion where I'm actually very bullish on a player and his production. I think Preston Smith has a huge year. Couple reasons why. Number one, contract year. It's kind of time to put it all together. That seems to motivate several gentlemen when it comes to it. Second thing is, there was a correlation last year when they had decent interior action, whether it was Anthony Lanier stepping up or, you know, decent.
Matt Ioannidis early in the season was dominant.
And so was Jonathan Allen. Those two guys both played very well. When Allen and Ioannidis were in there and healthy, sack a game, four, five type tackles, influencing plays, beating his man more often than not. When those guys were out, much easier to account for Preston Smith. If you've got better interior defensive line play, you can wind Ryan Kerrigan up. It'll be between 11 and 13 sacks. That's Ryan Kerrigan. He's going to do that. I don't care who's next to him, who's not, right? He's like an Edgar Martinez type hitter. He's going to hit 320 homers.
He's not as dependent a player as Preston Smith, who needs a lot of help. But
I think Smith's
going to
get that help.
I think you could say that about a lot of rushers, though. I really do. I mean, there's a lot of guys in this league that could be in that 7-8 sack range and be a lot better if the defensive line in front of them pushes people around.
I agree with that.
Trent Murphy as an example.
So I don't think he's as good a player as Ryan Kerrigan is, and that's not meant to make it that way. I think you're going to get production this year from Preston Smith. Number one, again, the contract thing. The second part of it, though, is if you've got better play on that interior defensive line, for whatever reason, they work together with stunts and games, him winning on the outside, et cetera. If you've got better secondary play, guys were able to step up easily against the Redskins, especially in that middle part of the season where there was no interior pressure once Ioannidis got hurt, no Allen.
But that's how it's
going to
be.
I think
you're not going to.
This is if healthy.
Okay, I guess. I mean, but basically what I took out of that is, first of all, you're banking on, or you're predicting that he'll have double-digit sacks.
Yes.
The first time. I hope you're right. But I heard if the defensive line is really good and if the secondary is really good, Preston Smith can have 10 sacks. I'm not paying him if that's what has to happen. I mean, to me, good pass rushers, forget Ryan Kerrigan. I'm not comping him to a 16th overall pick who's a Pro Bowler every year.
Right.
But good pass rushers in this league don't need it to be 72 and sunny. I need him to be able to get home a couple of times in a 9-game stretch.
Oh, we'll agree there.
When that's not the case. So if the question is, will he be much better this season or is it more of the same? I think it's probably more of the same. And I'm not down on him. I kind of like what he's become. If he wants to sign to be a number 3 OLB, I think that's the perfect fit for him. Here's why. His length at 6'5 and about 270. How long his arms are. He could be a really valuable down defensive lineman, even in this 34, from time to time in situational
packages. One
of those
NASCAR package type things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where they move him around, they kick him inside, they move him to defensive end and let him play a little 5-tech. I think you can move him all over the place. But what you need to do that is a second outside linebacker with Ryan Kerrigan who starts. And I want that guy to be a speed rusher. It's what I was hoping Junior Gallette would turn into. He didn't. It's what you saw out of Trent Murphy for a stretch there before he got hurt when he had the big season. So to me, I think he probably is in the 8 to 9 range. I'll be surprised if he gets to 10. My hope is he doesn't want to get paid like some upper echelon outside linebacker. I remember talking to his agent not that long ago, and he has a very, very high opinion of Preston Smith.
Imagine that, huh?
Yeah, that he thinks he's going to basically go break the bank. Well, he better have a dozen sacks this year if he's going to do that. And then you can kind of fool someone into making you their Ryan Kerrigan. I don't see it. Danny's going to say double-digit sacks, though. Where are you guys at on Preston Smith? Does he break through and have another big progression this year? Or do we kind of know what we're getting at this point, 3 years in, going into his age 26 season? You're listening to Grant and Danny. We've got a double play coming your way next. Our Beltway Blitz at noon is 15 minutes out. And remember, Josh Hader, an all-star for the National League, is going to be in studio with us. You can come check that out at District Live. That's at 12:30 downstairs at 1015 Half Street. To the Fan. If you want to watch the show today, you can. You can go to thefandc.com, and then there's a little banner right there at the top of the page in red. It says, watch Grant and Danny at District Live. That's us, and we are at District Live. Josh Hader has pitched in 48 innings and struck out 89 batters. That's a strikeout rate of about 17 per nine, the best in baseball. How about his first All-Star appearance in this, his second season in the majors? With the Milwaukee Brewers, he's a Maryland native. He will join us in studio coming up at 12:30 today. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives that has nothing to do with sports?
Double play. The double play.
GP, I'll do it quickly, then I'll yield the rest of the time to the Grand Marshal from King George, Virginia. Danny Ruye, Netflix season 2 review of Glow. I know Thambe gets all steamed up and sized. This is a cool show. This is a well-done, interesting, outside-the-box program. And this is the cool thing about Netflix. This show could never air on network TV. It could never air on almost any station. HBO could probably do this. I think Showtime would have butchered it and made it more like a stupid softcore type thing than what it actually was. It is a fascinating dynamic of an underexplored topic that's dark, it's funny. It's actually some emotional energy behind it, and the episodes are quick-hitting, GP. It's not like I know you get intimidated when the show is too long or there are too many episodes.
Can be problematic.
These are like 32-minute episodes, so it's just a little bit longer than a sitcom. You get your arc, you get in, and you get out. It's basically about, obviously based on kind of a real story, but the formation from late-night local television of this thing called GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, into something that's not totally mainstream, but like it gets picked up and eventually folded into what the Worldwide Wrestling Federation and then WWE would become. Allison Brie is the star of the show, and she uglies herself up on purpose and is great. Mark Maron is awesome. The thing that the show wouldn't have worked had they not been able to cast their face lead. This woman who plays on the show named Debbie Egan, who's kind of this former soap opera actress who they get to be the bright shining star, and they call her Liberty Bell, and she's the one that is always kind of chasing the belt and the different characters that are, you know, kind of play the type as we had in the 80s. This is a cool show. So, is it a must-watch? It's not. My three ratings, as you know, I have to say, avoid, if you have some time, must watch. I would put this in the if you have some time thing, okay. But I do recommend it because it is, again, it's not the, in Chicago, you're either on one side of the law or the other. Policemen, Chicago police. Or like, New York firefighters, we fight fires. How long have you been fighting fires my whole life? None of that. It's none of that. None of that normal, standard, bomb, bomb type show. It is entertaining. It's funny. It's dark. And Mark Maron is an ultimate sleazeball. So I give it a watch recommendation if you have some time.
All right. I like that. It is time for my double play.
Double play. The double play.
So yesterday I was in town. So I had a bunch of family come up for the Futures game and the All-Star Fan Fest. Nephew and niece came. And basically the way that they got through most of the day. Because my nephew is a little bit older than your son. And my niece is a little bit younger than your son.
Mm-hmm.
Is that basically, you just crowbar a bunch of food down their throats most of the day. So, like, Leah will sit there and watch a few innings of baseball if she gets some ice cream in the first inning, and then there's a snack in the fourth inning, and then in the sixth inning there's something else, and then you're leaving the ballpark. But basically, they came up at, like, 9, because I got my brothers in studios. So we were talking about EMP. Then they went over to FanFest, which it looks like I'm not going to get to do, which I'm a little bummed about. This will be the first time I haven't done FanFest in a while. I'm telling you, you got to take Bill Rowland over there. He would love FanFest. You got to. I guess maybe it's too late for you too now.
Yeah, there was no way it was going to happen.
he would. It's just so good for kids. If you guys are listening and you got a chance to get your kid to FanFest, you should do it. Because there's all kinds of little activities. But the thing that Cam did that was awesome, New Era has this thing, and technology is sus. It's so good. So there's this thing for New Era where it's like a green screen, I guess. My brother sent it to me on my phone. But my nephew, who's like six, is standing there, and you're I guess, told, think actor in a movie where the scene you're doing is with like a talking zebra that isn't actually there.
Right. They're going to over CGI it.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Exactly what you're talking about.
So like,
yeah.
If you're an actor and you're like working out this scene in a movie and the guy next to you is the talking ape in Planet of the Apes, but they're not actually there and you're just acting by yourself in a room. So I think they like tell you where to look and you're looking up and then they say, okay, now put on your hat. So what they do is Bryce Harper's standing there when you get this video sent to you and he's in uniform and it's Bryce Harper, and he goes, this is how I get ready for my game and get my game face on or something like that. And he puts his New Era hat on. He looks at the camera. And then he looks down at the kid, which is my nephew at this moment.
Okay.
What's your game face look like? And then my nephew puts his hat on and looks back up at Bryce Harper, and he goes, that's pretty good. It looks like Bryce Harper and him are standing next to each other.
Nice.
I'm telling you, it is the coolest thing I've seen. And I was just thinking about it. Like, as a kid, so that to me would be Cal Ripken Jr., who was in studio with the Junkies and I got to say hello to today.
Yeah.
Or that would be maybe a Bonds or a Sosa or a Maguire or something like that from my childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that technology didn't exist.
No.
There's no way to pull something like that off. But this video, it would be like the hologram concert or whatever you now have the ability to do.
Sure, yeah.
It legit looks like Bryce Harper and my nephew are having this conversation. I'll show it to you during the break. I'm telling you, it is so cool. But I just don't know where we're going with all this, but eventually you're going to be able to like have a discussion with Bryce Harper at FanFest, even though he's not there. It is so neat.
I think where it'll stop when we realize it's gone too far is that, okay, for this fee, well, let's call it like $1,000 because that'll be 16 cents, you know, in 2070.
Right.
For $1,000, you actually get to be inside Bryce's brain for an at-bat. And you get to experience his thoughts. Like when his neurons fire and the synapses collapse or don't, if he decides to swing at a pitch or not, you'll get to see it firsthand. You won't be able to guide his swing. That he needs his own autonomy in his brain, but you'll be able to see it through his actual right eye.
If you don't have tickets to the Home Run Derby tonight, of course, you're listening to it here on The Fan or the All-Star Game tomorrow, which we're also broadcasting on this here station. Get to FanFest or get to Play Ball Park down here by the ballpark. And when you are there, come on by 1015 Half Street. Watch us do the show today and tomorrow from 10 to 2. Nats manager Davey Martinez is going to be on the show with us here tomorrow. We've got a lot of ground to cover with him, obviously. The Nats 5.5 back at the All-Star break. We'll go blitzing around the Beltway at noon. And then Josh Hader of the Brewers, an All-Star from the National League, will join us at 12:30 here on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.